Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above. I hope you all did well yesterday without me telling you what was going on. It did seem to be kind of an interesting day yesterday, dull and dreary here, followed by today's beautiful sunshine. That's the typical Northwest way. 5 minutes later, the weather is totally different. So today we have come out of the void, of course, moon that was the transition between Gemini energy and Cancer energy. And so today the moon is in Cancer, and it is coming into contact today in some very powerful ways. One in a sextile to Uranus, which means we may have some upsets, some surprises, etc. And then also in an opposition to Mars, which is also maybe adding some emotional volatility to the day. And then in a trine to the sun. So if you recall today's Wednesday, Janet. So when it was on Monday, we talked about how the sun and the moon had come into a square. And that was our first crisis of action in the cycle of the new moon to the full moon. We have the crisis of action at that halfway point, where we might encounter some blockages or some obstacles in our outer world that require us to, you know, move over, around, or under, so that we can continue on our merry way. And now, having come through that, the sun and the moon come into a trine with one another, which means maybe flow is again established and things can move again, and you're feeling maybe a little better about the things that you have started or intended with that last new moon. So as we talk about that, I'm just going to go back real quickly here to check on the Facebook feed and make sure I'm definitely live. It's telling me I'm live. So let's just see what's going on here. Then I can say good morning to people at the same time. So I see myself. There I am. Debbie Hedden, good morning to you. Michelle Gay, good morning. Jacqueline, good morning. And Mimi, good morning. Actually, great to see you out there, Mimi. I miss you out there chatting, mostly because I just don't see it, but I'm sure you're out there. Anyway, so let's go back and talk a bit about today. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. A couple of things. First of all, I think today is going to be a great day for you to have your chart in front of you, both your astrology chart and your human design chart if possible, because I want to talk to you a bit about how to read your own chart. Not in any major profound kind of ways, but it might be profound for you. And, you know, you have to know that when I come on air and I'm talking about these things that are going on, you know, I don't know, because I'm not seeing how this is affecting you as an individual, unless you guys type in and you tell me, you know, certain details about what's going on in your own chart. So when we do it this way, then we have an opportunity to, or you have an opportunity to see what it is that I see when I'm looking at a chart. And you can do this as you start to get more familiar with how your chart works. And what the moon does when it's, how you feel when the moon is moving through Cancer or through any other sign, the better off you are, because then you understand yourself in some very profound ways. For example, I've been watching in my own chart, Saturn coming to my natal Saturn, i.e. my Saturn return, my second Saturn return. And it's a good thing that I knew this was coming, because so many things have gone on that emotionally, where I'm feeling down, or I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling tired. Like last night, for example, I sat in my chair. I fell asleep at 8:30, and I just couldn't help myself. I never fall asleep that early. And I might have been a little worried about what's going on with me, that I'm so tired that I would fall asleep. But I also realized that I'm one day away from my actual Saturn return, and that a Saturn return is often a time where you're feeling your age, you're feeling your tiredness, you're feeling a little more lethargic. And it just so happens that that particular placement of Saturn in my own natal chart is in a quincunx to the sun. So it's dampening down my energy, or causing me to have to adjust my energy to the circumstances that I find myself in. If I did not know astrology, literally, I may be running to the doctor going, what is wrong with me? I did go to the doctor, but that was just my usual checkup. And everything is fine. So, what else is it? Well, it's a transit. It's a transit of a planet. And I can see that happening. And then I can be kinder and gentler to myself because I understand that there isn't anything wrong with me. This is just a transit and it is causing me a particular, it is demanding almost a certain kind of response from me. The response from me would be to slow things down, be more compassionate, take some more time for rest, don't go out there and push yourself, don't push the river. That's the message I get. But every day, all of us are getting messages from these planets as they transit through our charts. What is the message? Well, it really helps when you can understand where it is in your chart and what is happening. So I am going to kind of reverse things up a little bit this morning. I want to talk about where the moon is, but I want to show you the chart for the day first. And that way, if you have your own chart, you can find the spot that this is happening in. Okay, so let's do that. First of all, let me go to my Facebook page. And I mean to my, there we go. Wow, I made that big. And then I'm going to go back to Zoom and I will share my screen with you all. And there we go. So now you guys should be seeing this is the chart of the day. This isn't a chart of a person, but we'll pretend that this is a person named March 4th to 2020, and we have this as a person. So today we see the moon is down here in the sign of Cancer. And at the moment I drew up this chart, it was almost conjunct exactly the north node of the moon. The north node and the moon in a conjunction mean that it is also in an opposition to the south node. So the nodal axis is triggered today. And then just because I am who I am, I see, oh, wow, there's this beautiful square happening and that creates a T square. You can see this line here meeting up with Chiron and Black Moon Lilith. And also coming from here, this is a T square, which is a very highly energetic configuration, let's call it, that people have in their charts that create a lot of feeling of obstacles, of having to get over something, of things getting like roadblocks in your way. And the roadblock that we have seemingly is the Chiron Black Moon Lilith, fear and the shadow, our wound. And so today is a really good day if we want to connect with where we're headed on our nodal axis as a humanity collective, or also as an individual, is to get clear of what is going on in the fear here. And in a T square, we also have an empty spot. So the balance position would be exactly opposite of this 4 degrees Aries, Black Moon and Chiron. And that would put it over here at 4 degrees of Libra, where we have no planets by transit. So in a chart, then we would have to make a concerted effort to bring more balance and harmony and peace to ourselves, to our lives. So that is the bigger picture of what is happening with that T square. The moon moves fairly quickly, so it's also going to move out of this territory very quickly. But I want you to understand where Cancer is in your chart. So if you're looking at your chart, Cancer, the symbol looks like the number 69 laying on its side, or the crab. Could also look like goggles. There's goggles there. And so find this symbol in your chart and then look toward the inner part of the wheel, and it will tell you what house that Cancer is in your chart. The house position of the sign tells you the area of your life where the action is taking place. So if this were a person, then the action would take place, all of the emotional energy, all of the transiting energies would take place in the fourth house. Here's the fourth house. It begins here in the fourth house of home and family and tradition. But it also later in the day will transition over into the fifth house and finish the transit through tomorrow in this fifth house, which is the house of creativity and joy and play and fun, and where we deal with life from a childlike perspective. So this person then if it were a person, would be expected to move. Maybe there's some kind of emotional thing going on with mother or with family members, but then they remember that it's all about the joy of having a family, the joy of children, the joy of life. And so the emotional warm fuzzies come into play here later on in the day today, maybe triggered by something here, but then moving on over into a different area. So the moon, as in moodiness, right? When we're talking about the moon in Cancer, it's all about the emotions. So there's moodiness here. As the moon moves, your moods change. No matter who you are, your moods are going to change because of the moon moving through the sign of Cancer, or just the moon's movement in general. Now, looking at your chart, then you might see it's in the first house. The first house, wow, that's a pretty wide first house right now. The first house is the house of you. So if this is pointed at your Chiron and your Black Moon Lilith in the first house, then perhaps you are personally having to do some work on yourself to empower yourself, to release your fear about really being who you are and expressing self-acceptance and being self-centered. And that is a journey, let's say, through the self and how you are showing up in your own life. And that would be this transit. If we're looking at Cancer over here in the first house, it might be some emotional connection that you have that you're working through. So each of the houses has a meaning. The second house is a house of money and possessions and self-worth. So if Cancer is over the second house here, you might be having some issues around that in your life. The third house is about communication. If you have Cancer here, you are likely an emotional communicator. And if that's so, you may speak today more from the emotion. And that may be a good thing if you're speaking with compassion, love, and tenderness, but it could also be a bad thing if you're speaking from a place of defensiveness, also an issue with Cancer energy. Fourth house, home and family and mother. Fifth house, joy, play, creativity. The sixth house plays out in two big areas. One is your work environment. So that would take in the actual environment that you're in, the people that you work with. So either colleagues or coworkers or your employees, if you are the manager or own your own business. But it, on the second hand, is also about your health. So you may be feeling emotional energy around those two areas in your life. Seventh house rules marriage and partnerships or business partnerships. The eighth house is about transformation, but also sex and all of the things that we find are needs. In some cases, this is the need for ourselves to control and to have power. And so there may be emotional ups and downs around power struggles during a transit of Cancer in the eighth house. The ninth house is about growth and expansion. So traveling, visiting other cultures, maybe you have a faraway visitor that comes to visit and that there's an emotional connection to other cultures or other places or new ideas to higher spirituality. The 10th house is about the career or your profession. So if Cancer's here, you may be experiencing some emotional connection to the work that you actually do, or maybe some reward or recognition for the work that you've done. Capricorn, same thing, but it's in the 11th house. This is our goals and our dreams and our vision. And how do we get there? The step-by-step progression of movement through to the end goal, whatever that might be. The moon here in Cancer puts some more emotion in that. In this chart, you see it's Capricorn. It is definitely more about the stepwise progression toward a dream. But if Cancer is here in your chart, it may be more about the emotional connection that you are experiencing to a vision or to a dream or a goal. And whether that is you giving up on that dream or goal or you really connecting to that is based on, you know, what other planets you might have here. Then we have the 12th house. If you have Cancer here in the 12th house, then it's often bringing up subconscious emotional patterns. So the moon moving through here could be unsettling for you. It could be a little disturbing, a little disturbance in the force, as you might be having to face the unconscious emotional reactions that you're having or the patterns that have been set up in your life. So That gives you an idea of the houses. So looking at your chart, then you're going to find Cancer and you're going to find the house that it aligns with. And trust me when I say this, it's likely not going to be just over one house. It may split itself like it does here between two different houses. And then you have to take two kinds of houses into consideration, right? This case, the fourth house and the fifth house. All right, I hope that's helpful to you guys because I know we talk about this every day and I don't know that I've ever really gone through a process like that of how is it that we find what it is that means for us personally. I'm going to go over to Facebook. Hopefully I left that open and see what people are saying. Jacqueline says, I have Saturn in the first 13 degrees also. Angela, good morning to you. Jacqueline says, wow, I was thinking the same thing. Oh, I don't know what you're saying there. Never mind. Lopez or Jacqueline Lopez says, mine is in the first and the second. So your moon, your Cancer must be across the first and the second houses. So you're dealing both with self-acceptance, self-centeredness, who am I, and really being emotionally connected to your, the mother in you, the protection, the protective part of you, the part of you that is the nurturer, and then also the second house where your self-worth is. And this can be a tricky one, Jacqueline, and anybody else who might have it in the second house, because if your emotions are tied up in your, if your self-worth and your emotional self is tied up in being a mother or being a nurturer, and you're about to lose kids, as in they're moving out, then what does that mean for you, right? So there's a huge need for us to really understand who we are if you're experiencing a transit like that, because right now it would seem that everything is tied up in your ideas of who you are as a mother or as a nurturer. I have a Cancer rising sign, so Cancer in my first house. And when my kids moved out of home, it was almost like I took it personally. Like, you're leaving me, you're abandoning me. I really had to do a lot of grown-up processing over that because I felt like the wind, you know, the world had been, you know, my feet had been taken out from under me. That's what I was trying to say. So it can be a very difficult time when Cancer is sitting between that 12th, first and second house, because a lot of who you are is wrapped up in being the mother or being the nurturer. Angela, my Cancer is completely in the seventh. And so you like to nurture your husband or your partners. And Val says hers is in the 12th house and also in my natal chart at 27 degrees. You have a 27 degree Cancer rising is what it sounds like there. I'm not sure. Cancer 12th house, but Cancer 12th house. So you are the one of the people that will be dealing with what comes up from the subconscious, the emotional connection you have to things that have happened in the past, to those unconscious parts of yourself. So it's a great time really for you to do some processing, to do some journaling, to get some access to what is it that, where am I abandoning myself? Where am I overprotective? Where am I sidewinding instead of coming straight on at something? Lots of great questions that you can ask about that. Debbie Hedden says she has Cancer in her 11th house, which is my busiest house on the wheel. So then things might be ramping up for you. Emotionally, you may be connecting to a bigger dream, maybe to some groups of people, friendships, things like that are all under the kind of energy signature for you with that placement. Why was the first house in that chart so large? Well, because I use the Placidus form of chart setup, and I'm rather far north, and that, and I set it for Bow, Washington, where I live. So that kind of skews what the house looks like, especially as we are getting closer and closer to an equinox where the seasons are going to change. You know, the earth is in the process of that tilt coming back to the, you know, in that 23 degrees that she moves through. So it just changes the way that the earth energy is set up for us in a chart. So this is why sometimes when we have charts for the far north, and it's not really that far north, I'm at 48 degrees north. Usually it affects more the 60 degree north. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it might be worth it to do the equal houses and, you know, just check the house placements. But because this is not a chart for a person, I wasn't too worried about which house a system I was using. But if you have a chart that looks like this personally, then it's definitely more in your, Wanda, I love you. Oh my God, I love you. She's sending, so yesterday, I this is too funny. So I went to the doctor, had my blood sugar results and all of that, and they were high, higher than they were the last time I went to the doctor, which really caused me some gut checking. And so I was telling Londa that I have to really change up my day. I'm really going to have to start forcing myself to add some exercise into my daytime away from the projects I work on, maybe even having to reduce my time in the morning show here as the weather gets nicer, because I really like to do morning walks and things. So here she is texting me going, find time to walk today. I love it. She could be my little support sister there in the background, because I have 3 months to get my blood sugars down before they really start pushing me toward medication. And I am not supporting Big Pharma in that way. So I have the power. I'm going to take the power back and I'm going to reduce that number. Totally personal. Sorry about that. Anyway, so going back to the 12th house, then a lot of those patterns that come up that, you know, reasons why you emotionally eat perhaps, or maybe emotionally connect to only certain people, or why maybe you have a smothering effect on the people in your lives, or why you might feel smothered in your life. The 12th house brings us all to those unconscious or subconscious patterns. And Christine, good morning. Is it possible to not have a sign? I don't see Cancer anywhere in my wheel. No, it is not possible, darling. You have to, everybody has all 12 signs in their wheel. Let me show you. I'm going to go back to my Zoom here for a minute and share my screen. If I can go back to that chart. Tell me if you guys are seeing this chart, because hopefully that's what you're seeing. So Cancer is this symbol. It looks like the 69 laying on its side. And you might also find Leo in the chart. Leo looks like the upside down horseshoe, and find Gemini, the twins, and it would be right between the two of them, Kristen. So it's somewhere in your chart. We don't, and you know, another question that I get frequently. So if you look at this chart, for example, let me make sure you guys are seeing the chart. I'm going to stop sharing for a second and then reshare just to make sure, because I never know. Oh, for one thing, I'm not even sharing the chart. Oh, Mercury, could you please leave retrograde soon? Now I can stop sharing and reshare. Okay, now you guys should be seeing the chart. So Kristen, here's what Cancer looks like, right? This is the symbol for the crabs. And then some of you may be asking a question about, what happens if I don't have anything in that sign? Because you may not. You may have, like in this particular chart, there's nothing in Leo. So if the moon were in Leo, and it will be in a couple of days, there's nothing in Leo right now. So what does that mean for me? Well, it means that we have to look to the sun as the ruler of Leo to see how the moon might be affecting the placement of the sun. In this case, the sun is in Pisces. So there's a lot of creative energy here. With the moon transiting through Leo, you may be really wanting to get recognized for your creative contributions to the world. So there's always a way that we can read what's going on in a chart, even if there aren't planets necessarily in that sign. And Gemini is also an empty house here, or an empty, empty house, third house. So I hope that makes sense as well. All right, so I'm going to head back over to Facebook. Let's see. I have nothing in that sign. So exactly, I'm so glad we talked about that. It doesn't mean that there's nothing going on. In your case, if Cancer is sitting there and it has nothing going on, you're going to want to look to the placement of the moon in your chart, because the moon is the ruling planet for Cancer. Where is your moon? Because that's where you might find a connection to the area of your life that is affected by the moon's movement for Cancer. Hope that makes sense, Kristen. If it doesn't, let me know here. And Jan says, oh, okay, that was a question I answered about the house. But I don't have Cancer in any of the houses. Okay, Kristen, do you care if I pull up your chart and we look at your chart? Because I can do that. I just have to make sure it's okay with you. I don't want to broadcast your chart out to anybody without your permission. So let me know if I can do that. Karen Devine, good morning to you, darling. She says, gosh, I have lots, Sun, Venus, and I think two more in the eighth house. And yes, I've done readings for you, Karen, and that eighth house is pretty packed for you because this is a lifetime of transformation. And you have an alchemical, get away with that word, lifetime, where everything is up for change and transition. And thank you, Kristen. And so, you know, having a lot of planets in that eighth house means sometimes your life can be turned, oh Lord, my arm hurts. Your life can be turned upside down, topsy-turvy at times, because it's all about the transformation. So, okay, Kristen, I'm going to go get your chart really quickly here, and then we will take a look at what all of that means for you. And then you guys can see a live chart with the live person, and we can answer this question for her. Where is Cancer in her chart? Kristen, there you are. And in one moment, I will share my screen. I'm going to pull up a transit chart. And it'll take just a moment here while I get that up. So I can close. I'm going to go back to Zoom. And now I'm going to share my screen. And when I share my screen, this is going to have Kristen's chart on it. So Kristen, I'm going to hide your birth information there. Here is your chart. So indeed, you do have Cancer in your chart. It's down here. This is where the sign Cancer is for you. It is on the fourth house. Interesting, because the fourth house is ruled by the moon. And since the moon rules the sign of Cancer, there's a real affinity in the fourth house for Cancer. In other words, you are very tied to home and family, and maybe even the feminine line in your family. So the females, your mothers, your sisters, maybe aunts or grandmothers. So there's a very strong ancestral line here. And even though you don't have any planets here in this fourth house, Kristen, your chart's a great example of what we were talking about. What we need to do is find out where the moon is in your chart. So chances are with the moon, this is set at a different time zone. So the moon is actually here in Cancer. And so I apologize that the moon does not look like it's in Cancer, but it is. And likely it's right here on the descendant, IC, the nadir. So it's great that we're having this conversation as it is just transitioning into your fourth house. But your natal moon is the one we need to look at, because your natal moon is over here in Taurus. At 26 degrees of Taurus, where the moon in Taurus likes comfort, it likes security, it likes stability. And you also then, Cancer is the second most I like stable, security, protection sign in the zodiac. So your natal moon and the fourth house, you find sustainability, and you like to have your house feel like there's enough food, enough money, that you're secure in your surroundings, and that helps you then go out in the world. Your self-worth, almost even, look at where your moon is in the second house. Your self-worth is really tied up in your surroundings, your possessions, how much money you make, how good you feel in your home and with your family and with the people that you surround yourself by. And so I hope that makes sense. And your chart, very similar. Where were you born? Bellevue, Washington. So you're a Washingtonian as well. And so pretty far north when you're December. So you're near a solstice. And that kind of gives us the reason why these houses are so wide. And that would also be these houses are so wide, because that northern, close to the equinoxes or close to the solstices kind of look of a chart. And I don't know that this would even change if we went to equal houses. Your moon would still be in Taurus. All right, so I hope that helps. Let me go stop my sharing here, go back to Facebook and see if you have any questions, or did that make sense to people? Karen says XX, that must mean hug, hug. Kristen says go for it. Okay, so Kristen, I'm waiting to see if you have any response to what we just talked about on your chart. In the meantime, let's go through what some of the other rulerships are of the sign of the moon in Cancer. So we know the moon in Cancer rules intimacy. And by intimacy, we mean our most secret self, our most inward self, our soul. So when we have the moon moving through Cancer, we have that soul to soul connection with people, or that's sort of what we're looking for, right? That we want to connect heart to heart, soul to soul. And when we feel like we are not being honored in that way, during a moon transit. We may get more of the negative emotional feelings, like not feeling protected, not feeling valued, not feeling nurtured, not feeling safe even. So when we're not feeling that ability to be connected intimately, it can create a disturbance in how we view ourselves in the world. There's nurturing and compassion in the moon's placement here too for the next few days, as we're looking for a kinder, gentler world, a kinder, gentler relationship with the people in our worlds. And you're welcome, Kristen. And emotions, of course, moodiness and our sensitivity to others is really heightened. And maybe it's not just a sensitivity to others. It's about the feeling, the emotional atmosphere. Even if you're not normally a very emotional person, you may sense that there's something going on with a friend or with a family member, and be willing then to sit down and take time with them or nurture them, because there's a sense with moon moving through Cancer of heartfelt connection to others and heartfelt understanding of what people are going through, no matter, you know, what, if they're close family or not. It could be a friend that this is happening to, but we seek that kind of heartfelt soul connection as we are sensitive to what others are going through or their feelings and emotional states. Home and family are also the realm of Cancer. So we have the emotional roots. So what anchors us in our lives is usually our parents. That's where it begins for us anyway. And when your relationship with your parents in your younger years is upset, it also upsets your emotional intelligence. Ugh. Your ability to be emotionally connected to others. So sometimes we've got to go back to our roots, and we've got to look at the emotional field that we were brought up in, and how were we conditioned to be with other people, and also to be with our emotions. Connection to what's familiar, because this is the house of tradition and our roots, or the sign of our family and our roots. We're really looking to our connection to what's familiar. Mother, protection energies all come through the sign of Cancer. Now we have to watch out for some things, right? Those all other things all feel really good. There's a couple of things we have to watch out for. You might be triggered with a lack of confidence in your own self, in your own worth, in your own abilities. And you'll want to watch out for defensiveness, right? We may feel emotion coming at us from someone. We put up the walls and then we behave as if we're under attack. So we want to watch out for that. We want to watch out for being dependent on others, right? Sometimes when the moon is moving through here, we may come face to face where we don't stand up on our own two feet, where we're looking to others or looking outside of us instead of looking within for our connection and our safety and our protection and our roots. And of course, also smothering energy, right? Where we take mothering too far and we become more smothering than mothering. So don't be a smotherer, but be a good mother, be a good caretaker, be a good protector. So any questions about that, go ahead and ask those here. I'm going to move on to a couple of other transits that are big today that we want to work with. Again, you might want to have your chart so you can take a look and see where the sign of Aquarius is in your chart. But let me see. Kristen, I'm going to still use your chart since it's up, and I'm going to go back to it. Is that your chart? Yep, it is. So let me go back to Zoom and share your chart again. And for those of you who listen to me on Blog Talk Radio and use this as a podcast, I apologize that you're not going to be able to see the screen. My suggestion for those of you who listen to me in podcast format is to go to YouTube and find the YouTube of this video, which is also posted right after the show, and you could see visually what it is that we're working through here. So even though it's great to have it just the audio, sometimes, you know, this is a more visual experience, and today is one of those days. So Kristen, I still have your chart up here, so I hope that's okay with you. Let's take a look and find Aquarius in her chart. Here is what the symbol of Aquarius looks like, these wavy lines that represent water and the surface of the water, right? So we have Aquarius here, and today Mercury in retrograde from Pisces is back into a little bit later here. It's right now at the cusp let's see where he is right now. He is at, yeah, he's at 0 degrees of Pisces. So in just a little bit today, he will be back at the 29th degree of Aquarius. And so that tells us this is, he's getting closer to ending his retrograde because it was 28 degrees Aquarius right here where he went into the retrograde phase. So Kristen, looking at your chart, that means this Mercury retrograde has been happening in your 12th house. Likely you have been receiving messages from your unconscious mind or the subconscious mind about things that have to be healed, things that you want to be moving through, processing. Maybe some fears have been triggered for you over the last few weeks while this little devil Mercury has been in retrograde here. And now he's moving back into Aquarius, which will still be in your 12th house. But in Aquarius, we get a different feel for what's going on here. And what goes on in Aquarius with Mercury is thinking outside of the box, right? Our thinking becomes more unique, more eccentric, perhaps more unusual. We might have better access to solving problems from the past or things that we haven't been able to quite get a finger or a read on that now we can actually, you know, do something about. And you want to go back to, say, around February 17th, because that is when this energy was first triggered, right? This is when it was, no, it wouldn't be February 17th. That's when it turned retrograde. It would have been back in early February. What was coming up for you then that needed to be worked on? What was it for you? What brilliant, genius ideas did you have in early February that now you're getting a chance maybe to reevaluate and go back into? And perhaps something was triggered for you, Kristen, in early February, and you want to go back and you want to use this energy of Mercury back into Aquarius to get that aha. And I want to share again a saying that I'm not sure if I shared it with you all or one of my other groups, but this thought of thinking outside the box, but staying inside the circle, because Saturn is a ruler here of Aquarius energy. So now Saturn and Mercury have this affinity that's going on, and also Uranus, because Uranus is a co-ruler here. So while we might have some really brilliant aha moments, or we might see things very crystal and clear, we still have Saturn's need here to really do something about it. You're duty bound and to become responsible for your own healing in this particular instance for you, Kristen. And I know, you know, I'm looking at Kristen's chart, and all of you may have this in any number of places in your chart. But it is a house that I want you to become very familiar with, because not only is the energy of Mercury in retrograde there, Mercury will turn direct here as well next week on the 9th, on Sunday, actually. No, I saw February up. Oops, wrong day. I think it's Monday. March 9th is Monday. Maybe I should turn my calendar, you think? And then we have Mars here and Saturn as we get later into the month of March. So we are really going to need to focus on what's going on in Aquarius in our chart. So again, you're looking for this symbol, and that symbol is going to show you then where that is in your chart. Kristen, it's across your 11th house, and you'll have something interesting going on as Saturn, you can see Saturn right now, right here, just 2 degrees away from moving into Aquarius. And I just love to be able to visualize what it is that I know is happening, right? So my intellect knows Saturn is about ready to move into Aquarius. If I could look out and see Saturn at night when there's no clouds, maybe I could. I could connect visually with it that way. But the other way for us to connect with it is to see it in a chart. And right here he is at 28 degrees of Capricorn. And when he moves into the sign of Aquarius, he is in your 11th house. He's already in your 11th house. And what that brings up for you is an ideal now, Kristen, about what it is that you want to create. What are your dreams? So my thought for you personally in this is to really get a good crystal vision of what you want, of what you desire. Because Saturn is still about taking steps, right? And making the plan and living up to, you know, executing the plan, looking forward here in Aquarius, as opposed to backwards a bit in Capricorn, looking to the future. What do you want? Right? What do you desire? and then begin to really allow that vision to roll, right? And to think outside of that box, but still within the circle of what it is that you've been working on in your life. So it's a really exquisite time for you, as even the sun, when it moved through Aquarius, may have triggered this process of thinking and dreaming outside of that box. So anyway, and any of the rest of you, you know, wherever Saturn is coming in, that is where you want to be looking at. Where am I needing to grow? Where am I needing to take on more responsibility and be more part of a community, perhaps, that kind of thing. All right. So this Mercury retrograde moving backward into Aquarius is also about our old ideas being coming back up with a new twist or a new sparkle, right? So maybe something that you've been thinking about that you wanted to do for a while, but had just haven't been able to get that going. Maybe the reason will become clear for you now why that wasn't ready yet. And this new idea or this new twist will come up and take you into new territory with that, especially after Mercury turns back to direct and moves forward into Pisces, a very creative sign. So creative and imaginative. All right, going back to Facebook, I'm going to stop sharing here. And let's see, Jacqueline, I have Salacia at 6 degrees. It's in the 8th and 9th. That's great. I can read up on it before I step out so I can maneuver properly through this energy. Allison, good morning. She's finally here, she says. Kristen, okay, no questions. I'm surprised that you have no questions, but okay. I'm glad, right, that you guys are tracking here with this. I also wanted to say or mention that Mercury retrograde moving backward to Aquarius today is also taking us into 8:30 in your human design. And I did not bring up the human design chart. Let's see if I can do that really quickly and show you where that is. It's at the emotional, it's in the emotional solar plexus. And I don't want to clear that out, but let's see. Jovian. The gate 30 is the one that we were talking about where we have desire, and desire in creates expectation. And then once we have expectation, we can end up, you know, expecting things to only happen in a certain way. And we then tend to forget that. Why does that always show up every time now? So here's the gate 30 down here in the lower quadrant of the emotional center. So if you're looking, this is the whole of the human design chart for today. And down here is the gate 30. And this is where we have Mercury now sitting. If we go up here, we'll see. At Mercury is at 30.6, sixth line. Backing into a sign is different than going forward. So instead of going forward where it would hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6, it's going backwards. So it's going to hit 6, 5, 4, but it will never make it that far before it moves back to direct. So the gate 30 here in your human design is a red flag gate. When it is defined either by birth, a natal planet sitting there, or by a transiting planet, it ups the game. It ups the energy that we want to devote to our desires. What do I want? And remember that we talk about this with a void. Like, what is the void that you're trying to fill in your life? Am I filling it with food? Am I filling it with gambling? Am I filling it with drugs? Am I filling it with sex? Am I filling it with escapism, right? Getting on my phone, getting, you know, What am I distracting myself from because I have this very powerful urge or desire that I want to fill or a void that I'm noticing because that desire hasn't been fulfilled. So we have Mercury back here bringing this back up for us, right? What is it that you have where you're feeling not fulfilled? What are you trying to put in that void? And the desire energy here, this is not usually desire that, it's our wants. It's our, I really want to be the best at this, or I really want to go there. I really want to be married or be in a relationship. I really want love in my life. And we feel this as a very poignant and powerful need fill that we need, or we feel unfulfilled. And this Mercury here may be bringing that back up for you too. And it's, you know, the key here with the gate 30 is to feel desire, but not have an expectation around it only coming and being filled through the way that you think it should be filled. That being open and unattached while still desiring, which is tricky for us as humans, because we really like to get caught up in, this is how I want it. And if it's not like that, it's not going to be fulfilled. And then we cut ourselves off right there at the knees, at the nose. So watching desire, what do you want? It's okay to have wants and desires, but to allow that open to universe filling that for you in the way that the universe sees fit. Tricky, right? Now, today also, Venus has moved in, will move later today into the sign of Taurus, where she will be until April 3rd. So here is a time of where Venus is a ruler of Taurus, and Venus in Taurus wants solid stability. It wants dependability. It wants anything of it, because it's value oriented. Venus rules our values. It wants our values to be worthy, to be important, and to be lasting, right? So we're looking to really button in, kind of get into what is of lasting value. What do we, where do we really see us wanting to put our eggs? What basket is that going to be in? It's also a great time while Venus is in Taurus to do a financial checkup, right? Is my money, especially with the volatility in the stock market over the last few days? And you know, where does that go into the future? So doing a financial checkup, is my debt to income ratio good? And I hate all those terms. Just thinking about them makes me go quivery inside. But it's a great time to do it nonetheless, because if you don't know where you are, how can you get to where you want to go? Right? How do you know if you're on solid financial footing or solid in your values, unless you actually take the chance to look at it and go deeper into it? During this time of Venus in Taurus, all of our relationships are up for evaluation as well. Strengthened, perhaps, changed, perhaps. We're looking again for that longevity. Is the relationship that I'm in going to stand the test of time? Is there comfort here? Is there security here and stability here? So Venus in Taurus until April has us looking at all of these things. And the reason why I left the human design chart up for you to look at is that Venus will be sitting at gate 3 for the next week anyway. And this is a gate of innovation. And this is a gate that looks, again, a sort of outside of the box. I just found it interesting that that's in Taurus. So maybe what we're having to look at is, where are we stuck, right? What patterns are we stuck in that we haven't been willing to break out of yet? Where are we looking for stuff outside of us to sustain us in stability and, you know, a feeling of security? Because if you're looking outside of yourself for that, you won't find it. Nothing outside of you can sustain you and support you in the same way that your inner self can, right? That's key here. So gate 3 is an interesting connection, because it defines both the sacral and the root center, because Saturn is sitting at gate 60. So that tells us that we have to really be responsible for ourselves, even in our relationships, because your relationship, you can't look to your relationship to sustain you and to create security for you. You have to have that comes from within. So lots of really kind of interesting things happening with that over the next few weeks as we had, I can't even believe it, April coming up. All right, so I'm going to head back to Facebook really quickly before I end the day with our Pleiadian energy and see what people are thinking and talking about. Jacqueline, my Venus is in Gemini, but I have a Libra moon and Taurus sun, so happy to learn how it plays out in my life. So that means that Venus will be transiting over your Taurus sun, at some point during this transit. And so Venus and the sun bring usually really good feelings, really good things, maybe financial windfall, maybe a new job, maybe a new opportunity. So some good things happening for you, hopefully. Camille says, my Venus is Taurus. I seek stability. Absolutely. And I bet you've learned, Camille, because you're the same age as me, that your stability comes from within, that no one else can provide that for you. It's always got to be something that comes up from within you. So good news there, right? Okay, let's look at our Pleiadian Earth energy for the day. Today we are at 8, devoting. And wouldn't you know it, this is all about connection and abundance. It totally is fulfilled by the moon in Cancer with its nurturing and connection energy, the moods, all of that kind of comes right together here. Here is a reminder with the 8 energy, the universal energy of the day, that we are mirror images of one another, that we are mirror images connected at the heart. So if you lay that 8 on its side, you see 2 faces connected heart to heart or soul to soul. And remembering that, then when we do it that way, when we think of each other in those terms, we are so less likely than to blame and shame and guilt trip other people, because they're just a reflection of what's going on within us. We can be less competitive during this kind of a transit. This is a part of our evolution. So it's not just for today. This is a part of our evolution in this week of releasing our ideas of competition. Funny to say that when we're in the midst of Super Tuesday, yesterday's result, and the election here in this country, where it is like a giant competition to see who gets the most votes. So it's pretty funny to have a day like today where, like, this isn't really about a competition, because we're all reflections of one another. We may feel more abundant on an 8 day, because 8 represents connection and abundance, not just connection, and abundance as well. And I'm going to throw out a new word maybe for some of you today. It is in Lakesh. Lakesh is a word that is Mayan that says, the spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you. And it's a sort of devotion to each other that we see when we greet each other or leave each other with this kind of saying. I used to end all my emails this way, in Lakesh, and about recognizing ourselves, seeing our beauty reflected to us and others as others would see their beauty reflected from us. And if what you see reflected to you isn't beauty, it isn't because of that person. It is something that you have to work with inside. So the 8 day reminds us of that, the need for us to work on us, right? To see what is that projection and what is it all about and why is it there, and then reel it in and live from that, right? Work from that. Devoting energy is the earth energy for the day, and it's dog in, it's Ok. Ok is dog in Mayan. And here's about the energy of loyalty, learning about loyalty. What is loyalty and who should we be loyal to? Is there a person out there that we owe loyalty to? So it brings up a lot of crazy energy right now in this country, especially, as loyalty is a big deal. But loyalty isn't to a person. Loyalty is to the truth, right? The truth. So we have to be able to release unsuitable loyalties, the things that don't serve our evolution. Being loyal to a person does not serve our evolution. We have to move away from fear and insecurity and find that maybe what you really are needing to be loyal to is your truth. You, your own self, and your own well-being, and your own, you know, mindfulness, and stop looking for it outside of you, right? Looking for it in a person or group or a thing, find it in here. So when you find that in there, there's no need to go looking or demanding loyalty from other people. Isn't that interesting? Turn that one upside down on its head, right? Okay. So I'm going to go back one last time to Facebook, see if there were any other questions that popped up. And yes, Jacqueline, same as namaste. It's just the version of it in the Mayan language. Mayan language likely brought to them by the Pleiadians. So there's a connection there. And I don't see any other questions. Camille says, yes, yay. So I'm glad that that resonated with you. And I hope all of you today really enjoyed being able to look at charts like that. I want to do more of that, because I think sometimes when you're able to visualize what's going on in a chart, easier it is to understand. So today, thank you very much, Kristen, for letting me use your chart. And anybody else who would like to have their chart ever looked at like that, Just give me brought me a quick note and say, use mine, or you're clear to use mine. I know Mimi often lets me do that, and Debbie Tibbetts-Fumiel has let me do that. And I just don't like to do that unless it's okay with you, because it's, you know, your private information. It's yours. But in sharing it, we do get to learn more, so that's good too. In the meantime, have a wonderful day, everybody. I will see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, right here, in the Living Astrology Facebook page. Until then, take care. Have a great day. Let's do it in Lakesh. Bye for now.